Rick Moody is known for his dark 1994 novel, The Ice Storm, which director Ang Lee made into a movie. What you may not know about Moody is that he is also a songwriter with the country band The Wingdale Community Singers, and that he tried combining his two loves, writing and music, by working with the experimental group One Ring Zero. I'll talk with him about the music later, but first, Moody has just released a new book called The Diviners, a lighter, more humorous work that focuses on the entertainment industry. I asked him whether the new book was a reaction to his last work, which was a memoir entitled The Black Veil.
Yeah, you know, I had been writing nonfiction, as you pointed out, in the book prior to this one. And at the end of finishing that book, boy, all I wanted to do was make up some stuff, you know. And in addition to that, I wanted to write something that wasn't going to furrow anybody's brow, you know. I mean, The Black Veil is a difficult book and an ambitious book, and I don't regret it at all. But when I got done with it, I wanted to make a book that people would really dig, enjoy, you know, feel entertained by and delight in turning the pages. So that was the ambition.
Well, The Diviners is a book about Hollywood, but much of it is set in New York City, which is where you live. Did you really want to write about that city and its people as well?
Yeah, I mean, I know more about the film business in New York, and there's a kind of a desperate quality to filmmaking in New York. You know, we're resolutely not where it's happening, in a way. And so there's this kind of, you know, tilting at windmills kind of notion to the way people try to make movies in New York. So I like that. I like people are sort of teetering on the brink of failure a lot of the time.
Indeed. Maybe we should kind of give people an idea about what happens in this book, because there's so many different characters, so many different viewpoints, and maybe just a brief plot synopsis might help.
Sure. I think, you know, as you are implying, the sort of main plot architecture orbits around an independent film company in New York who, between Election Day 2000 and December of that year, attempt to sell out massively by pitching a television miniseries to one of the networks. And the miniseries is a multi-generational saga about dowsers, those guys with the forked stick out in your backyard charging you exorbitant fees for misplacing your well. So that's the main plot, but there are a lot of other hangers-on orbiting around this this film company.
Now, of course, the thing about the book is that there actually is no script, and just as you've described it, the whole plot structure is kind of preposterous. But everybody in Hollywood seems to bite on this, and one would look at your experience with The Ice Storm and wonder if there is any parallels at all for you.
No, in no way is it a let's get revenge on Hollywood kind of satire at all. I mean, I'm really lucky. The Ice Storm is an amazing film, and the guy who made it, Ang Lee, is an amazing filmmaker. So there's no let's get back at Hollywood kind of thing. Actually, my idea is that Hollywood just serves as a really great emblem for kind of American culture as a whole. So I'm really using it just as in its symbolic way here.
One of the things about the book is it's somewhat episodic. You could see it as a miniseries or a series of some sorts. And one of the things that's kind of interesting is how you at least subtly change your voice as you move through the book. Was that something you were working on, a challenge for you?
Yeah, I always like doing that. I'm really interested in different kinds of voices, and I'm interested in books that are kind of encyclopedic, that tackle a lot of different kinds of characters and situations and so forth. So that's part of what makes it fun for me. And, you know, I should say that really I tried to have a lot of fun writing this book with the idea that would then in turn create entertainment for the reader, and so all these different kinds of voices, for me, that's just it's just a way to try something new with different parts of the book and to take delight in the kind of multifariousness and variety of American voices,
and particularly those in New York City, for that matter.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that of course is going to lead me to a discussion about the voices you can use when you make music. And one of the things about the latest project of yours, the Wingdale Community Singers, is not only can you literally use your voice, but Hannah Marcus, who does a lot of the singing in the group, you can use hers. and as you mentioned, David Grubbs, the other member of the group, these are all people who are kind of... I'm not trying to disparage, but they're real musicians in a lot of ways.
That's all right. You can say it. I can live with it.
I'm curious about why you turned to songwriting and what you get as a writer out of being a songwriter and being able to create characters with that.
I always wrote songs. I've written them. In fact, I wrote songs before I wrote short stories, even. I've written songs since I was 15, 16 years old. And so it's not a new endeavor. It's new only in the sense that I finally kind of took it seriously and decided to play with people who are really first rate instead of sort of noodling around in my apartment by myself, you know. What's in it for me really is that I think music encourages really active listening, you know. I always played various instruments. Piano actually is what I played best, but since both Hannah and Dave are even better piano players than I am, there's not much cause for me to do it. But so since I was a kid, I listened in the sense that I was always playing music and so always using my ears a lot. And I think using your ears does make for good fiction writing. You know, it really does put you in a kind of environment where you're listening to how people talk and how things happen in the world instead of always being obsessed with appearances and the visual. You know, that's how so much fiction is composed now. It's all kind of pre-masticated cinema in a way. And so I'm trying to stick with a prose, with a literature that's about how things sound. And playing music keeps me tuned up in that way.
That's really interesting. Now, contrast the Wingdale Community Singers, which obviously is a far more compact thing than One Ring Zero, which would have been the project with a number of other writers. But contrast what you get out of those two experiences.
Well, those guys, One Ring Zero is sort of a kind of an evolved klezmer outfit. I mean, they have, you know, it's really about kind of Central European minor keys and strange instruments and stuff. You know, there's always like a theremin wheezing in the background and stuff. Those guys went to music school and they can play anything. They can play and do anything. And the times that I've gigged with them, you know, it's been the kind of thing where I say, I'm going to read now and you play whatever the heck you want to play. Start now, you know, and then we just have at it. And, you know, it can be cacophonous and raucous, but it always brings something interesting to the prose to try to attempt to do that, you know. But they got all these songs that are in 9/8 and 12/8 and all these tricky, incredible. Like, I played on a song with them recently that it must have had 40 chords in the thing, you know. And I'm used to the three chords and the one relative minor, so I just can't play with them, really. I mean, they're too good. So the Wingdales are all about mobility. You know, it's three guitars and three voices, and we can play anywhere. You know, the sound system doesn't have to be good. There doesn't even have to be a sound system. And we pride ourselves on the kind of... you know, toothless guys sitting on the back porch model of music.
Well, there's some great characters that you've written in here, and I wanted to play Fishnet Stockings, which this cross-dressing guy, talk a little bit about where this guy came from.
Well, you know, the Wingdales were really trying to work in this, as I said, in this kind of Appalachian mode, you know. So I was looking to try to write an up-tempo song in an Appalachian mode that didn't have at all the kind of lyrics you would expect for that kind of a song, you know. So I got this idea that I was going to write about fishnet stockings. And initially there was both a guy and a woman character in it, but Hannah, who sometimes plays the editorial wisdom role in the Wingdale, said, no, just go with the guy. So I stretched it out, and it's all the guy now.
This is Fishnet Stockings from the Wingdale Community Singers. We're talking with a third of it today, Rick Moody, and this is Fishnet Stockings.
Whoa, fishnet stockings, goddess half-dressed, goddess unfrocking, well, the nightingale of the poet's song, and the day is done, she just don't belong, and the butterfly on the whispered peas, and the porpoise jumping from the seven seas, and the coyote calling in the dead of night, and I hold a candle to his delight. Whoa, fishnet stockings, gingham-on queens, the spectators gawking while the anorexic at the runway show. She just needs a meal, she just has to go. And the Dutch Madonna of the altarpiece, and the Holy Grail, and the golden fleece, and the box of chocolates, and the apple pie just aren't as perfect as this foxy guy. Whoa, fishnet stockings, the veins are aflame, my doors are unlocked, well, the python pictured on the hieroglyph might as well just plunge off the nearest cliff, and the sunrise burning with its morning flames, and the monks intoning God's thousand names, and the cactus flowers when they bloom in spring, they just don't compare, they don't mean a thing. Whoa, fishnet stockings, bullets are firing.
Fishnet Stockings from our guest today, Rick Moody, who's the author of The Diviners, his new book, and also a member of the Wingdale Community Singers, which is seemingly much, I mean, it's not like it's your band. It seems like really a community of people writing together. In fact, you do a bunch of co-writing, and I wanted to play another one because you talk about this, you know, this Appalachian musical viewpoint, but certainly with that song and with another one that... that you and you and Hannah wrote together, Bike Shop Boy, that seems like total Brooklyn to me.
Yeah, it's pretty Brooklyn. I mean, there really is a Bike Shop Boy, and he really did have his store until it closed, just a couple doors down from Hannah's place in Greenpoint, you know. And a lot of these songs were written with that in mind, you know, that we wanted to be part of our community, you know, not to be writing from some... you know, great distant vantage point about love and eternal verities, but more about, you know, just people we saw and things that we knew from the neighborhood and so forth.
Now, when you do co-writing in this situation, what's that experience like for you? Because obviously I would think what you do otherwise is pretty solitary.
Well, that's why it's so great. I mean, one of the greatest things about the Wingdales for me is it gets me out of the house and it keeps me involved with other people and other viewpoints. You know, when I collaborate, I'm completely willing to serve the song, get out of the way, do what needs to be done. And it's not at all about sort of personal ambition and ego in any way. I mean, I'm lucky I have this relatively successful writing career where I get to go hog wild by myself, you know. But when I try to collaborate, it's just, you know, I much more want to be part of the team.
And this is a collaboration. This is Bike Shop Boy from the Wingdale Community Singers.
He's got a rose in his heart while he works on the bikes. He's got his likes and dislikes. He's got a look in his eyes like he's gone off to sea. He gets his coffee for free. Oh, bike shop boy, where will you go?
I'll ride in the rain and the snow, wet and below.
Oh, bike shop boy, what will you do?
I'll pack up and try something new, and when the summer's
Wingdale Community Singers, that's Bike Shop Boy, and we're having a chance to talk with Rick Moody today. Rick, I was looking at your schedule of readings, which is kind of like a little rock tour in and of itself, but you do manage to bring Wandering Zero into some of that. What is the performance aspect of going out and doing readings like for you? Have you heard other authors read, and what does it bring to the work?
Oh boy, I bet I've probably been to 1,500 readings in my life. I've been to a lot of readings, you know. Anyone would tell you that it gets old so fast. And it's interesting because, you know, when I was first doing it in the middle 80s, you know, in fact, I remember the first reading I ever did was this event at Lincoln Center where they used to pair unknowns with really established writers. And I was the unknown that night. And the established writers were Bob Shacochis and Joyce Carol Oates. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was so friggin' nervous that night. I mean, I literally did not know if I was going to throw up at the podium or not. I could easily have done so, you know. But now, 20 years down the road, a reading in and of itself, it's just distracting in a way. I mean, I'm good at it. I can do it fine. I was a sometime actor in college, so I think I can read with a little bit of inflection, so it's not grindingly dull or anything like that. But I really have looked for ways to enliven the proceedings, and that's how the One Ring Zero thing started, really, you know, just with the idea that some music at the event is going to really change the cadence and change the way I engage in the activity, and I think make it more entertaining and interesting for the audience. You know, I mean, I think readings are so ubiquitous now that there's a way that people build in resistance to them, and we really need to try to find routes to livening up the proceedings.
Rick Moody, thanks so much for talking with us today. The Diviners is the new book and a tour de force of writing, and if you have been lacking plot from Rick Moody in the past, forget about it. This one's a real page turner.
Thanks.